This is the Legacy United Methodist Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or online, we are so very glad you decided to join us for worship today. You know, we are challenging each other in this series to reclaim the table. For the next month, to get together three times a week with your family, your people, however you define who that is, in your same house or not in your house, get together with your family three times a week for the next month and reclaim community. Reclaim that connection that was so diminished over the last 20 months. At the table, we also learn how to follow Jesus. We figure out what it looks like to build relationships and know what it means to be a disciple of Christ. You know, Jesus ate good food with quote-unquote bad people, so the religious leaders of his day said. Let us go and eat good food with all people as we reclaim connection. You know, this idea of table intrigues you. I invite you to check out the book by Len Sweet, From Tablet to Table. He's got beautiful thoughts, practical ideas of how we build this community around the table. One I love is his summary of the Bible. All those 66 books that we have in this library that we follow in this one book. You know, he summarizes the Old Testament, the first part of your Bible, like this. The Old Testament is mostly the story of Israel and their journeys. He says, we were attacked, we survived, let's eat. That's it. That's the summary of those first books. There is so much eating of good food in all of the festivals that they have that food is central to their faith. At the table, as they eat, they tell stories and retell stories and remember the goodness of God, how God guided them, protected them, and kept them safe over centuries. Now, his New Testament summary, the second part of your Bible, focusing on Jesus and the church, is likewise as short. I love you. I forgive you. Let's eat. I love you. I forgive you. Let's eat. You know, one of the central acts of the church, Holy Communion, is centered around a table. We celebrated Holy Communion last week. We will again next week. It is centered around a meal. Now, if you are ever asked, like I am, from time to time, just what's in your Bible, you now have a six-sentence, really easy summary. We were attacked. We survived. Let's eat. I love you. I forgive you. Let's eat. As someone who very much enjoys good food, I'm glad he got let's eat in there twice. The table is central to what it means to follow Jesus and how we build relationships, not just with your family, not just with your people, but with those outside of your faith, your neighbors, your strangers. We are supposed to be a people of hospitality, of radical hospitality, inviting people of all kinds of backgrounds into our homes and lives. Now, for some of us, that thought, that idea, it just raises the blood pressure and anxiety. We see the holidays coming at us like a freight train, all the meals and family time that are both beneficial and healing, but also bring all kinds of stress and work. We need to clean up the house for family and relatives, pick up toys, vacuum up dog and cat hair, do the laundry, pick up again because the kids just messed up the room that you just picked up. And we, just the thought of having people over raises our anxiety and makes many of us tired and exhausted. So what do? We eat out. That's what we do. Now, no. You don't have to eat out. We need an adjustment, a different understanding of what it means to get together with our family, with our people. Do we need to be Martha Stewart when we invite people over to have an immaculately clean house with no speck of dust anywhere? Do we need to impress each other? Or is our goal simply to be spending time together around the table? Look, I'm going to invite you over, but my house is not going to be immaculate. You're probably going to find dust in places, but make yourself at home. You don't need to wait for me to get water or a drink. There's the fridge. There's the cups in the cupboard. Make yourself at home. Go get it yourself because you're family. You are my people. You are radically welcomed here. We don't need to impress each other when we gather with our cleaning, our cooking, our homes, our pets, our furniture, our kids. No, we're simply getting together to build connection, to build community, to reclaim community, to learn what it means to follow Jesus around the table. Now, Jesus ate with all kinds of people in the stories we read in the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus we've got in our Bibles. We're going to dive into one of those dinner parties this morning. We're going to be in Luke 14 today. You can follow along in your own Bible, on your favorite device, or on the screen. We're going to see what it looks like to create community and hospitality and welcome for absolutely everyone. Now, the story begins with Jesus on the Sabbath day. This is the day of rest, celebrating and remembering all God has done, and they're gathered around a table. He was invited to the home of a religious leader. He goes to this dinner party, all kinds of other religious leaders and guests there as well. Now, Jesus didn't always get along with the religious leaders. These are the Pharisees in this case, in this story. He had some pretty tough words for them. But to be fair, the religious leaders, over centuries, kept Israel together. They helped them through their rituals and practices and ceremonies and telling and retelling and remembering the stories of God. They kept the people together through trauma and exile and pain and losing their nation. Some, though, even though they did all those good things, some of the religious leaders' practices would keep people from following God. They put up barriers that were stopping people from getting close to God. So that's why Jesus saved some of his harshest critiques for the people who were the most religious in his day. Now, dinners in the first century, quite a bit different than how we do dinners today. Now, people lived in small villages where you knew everyone else's businesses. Small villages, small towns really have not changed much at all throughout human history. That is still the same. Now, you likely did not travel, though, more than 60 miles from your house for your entire life. You lived your whole life within 60 miles of where you grew up. As a matter of fact, private life, as we understand it, didn't really exist in Jesus' world. Doors would remain open during dinner time to allow anybody to wander in and join your meal. Beggars, extra friends, simply curious people who loved the smell of what you were cooking, they would wander in. You'd say, hey, welcome, grab a table. We've got a plate for you. How comfortable would you be with allowing a random person to crash your dinner party? That's what it was like. That's how we conceive of it 2,000 years later, but that's not how they would have. They would have, that was simply how it worked. It was a common practice, and I think it was a way for them to live out scriptures. You can read some of these in the Old Testament where they talk about taking care of the poor, the widow, and the orphan in their midst. And so by leaving their doors and their dinner parties open, they were taking care of those on the margins of society. That was one of the ways they did that, to make sure people that had nothing had just a little bit so they could live. You know, I was trying to think of something that shared a similarity. One might be like a whole street or a whole neighborhood of block parties. We hosted some block parties this summer. Neighbors would come and go. People would stay for 10 minutes. They'd stay for 3 hours. You'd chat over good food. But if you had a whole neighborhood of those and you were kind of bouncing back and forth between them, that's a little bit of what it was like, a little bit of how dinner was like every single night in Israel. Now, Jesus, ever the most provocative and interesting house guest, he immediately pushes back. He's at the party, and the first thing he does in our story is pushes back against the religious leaders' teaching on the Sabbath. So he immediately makes them upset. Then he turns to all the other house guests and says, y'all should stop jockeying for the best seat at the table. And instead of trying to get the best seat at the table, you should practice humility instead. So he's now insulted the house guests and the religious leaders. Then, not to leave anybody out, Jesus turns to the host of the party and says, you know, when you throw a party, you should invite those who are considered least in the society. Not just the well-to-do folks, not just the connected people, not just the people with power and influence who would pay you back. If you invite those folks, those are the margins, you're going to be rewarded in the resurrection. Okay, so at this point, people have got to be getting uncomfortable, right? Jesus has just poked and prodded into literally everybody who's at this dinner party, the religious leaders, the guests, and the host. I am sure someone said, who invited this guy to dinner? So when a situation is uncomfortable, some of us just stop talking. It's awkward. We don't know what to say. We just stop talking and wait for it to end. Others of us have got to say words. other of us have got to say something, some words, it doesn't matter what words. We just got to fill the awkward silence with something, hoping that it's going to end. And I think that's what happens when we get into our story. This is Luke 14, 15, and it feels like someone is just breaking the awkward silence with whatever words he can think of. So a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast. He sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I've just bought a field. I must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen, and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, and I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There's still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges. Urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." Now, Jesus frequently teaches in stories like these. Your heading in the section might even say, "Parable of the Great Feast," or something like that. Parables are stories that Jesus tells to make a very specific point or lesson. We're going to pull back the layers on this story one at a time as we explore what it has for us around the table, what it means for us to reclaim community, to make space for anyone, absolutely everyone, to join us in the kingdom of God following Jesus. So on the first level, Jesus is living and moving among the Jewish people. They have waited generations upon generations upon generations for the Messiah to come. And guess what? The Messiah has arrived. He's here. The Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer is right here in Jesus. Everyone's going to be thrilled and excited and engaged in what he's doing. But that's not what happened. Many people in Jesus' day did not accept him or see him as a long-awaited Messiah. There were all kinds of excuses that were made. Business to do, fields to be done, marriages got in the way. But not everyone missed it. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, they saw what was happening, saw who Jesus really was. They joined the movement that Israel had long been waiting for. I see those lists of excuses, and I've got to pause and ask myself, boy, am I making excuses? Is God calling me to go in a certain direction, and I'm making excuses because I've got a business to run, I've got a field to manage, or I've got a marriage to take care of? Are there places in my life that I am making excuses? Am I investing my time, my talent, my resources in things that have an impact for Jesus? Am I investing things that show in my love for neighbor and my love for God? You know, we need regular time and prayer, meditation, conversations with others to be sure we're heading in the direction that Jesus wants us to go. And of course, course correct if we're not on that path, not maximizing the gifts God has given us in the world. Are we doing all that we can to show our love for neighbor in all that we do? You know, long ago, I was in checkout line at a grocery store, and in front of me was an evangelist, a missionary, and the cashier asked him if he wanted to donate to a cure for MS, to multiple sclerosis. And he responded, that he only invested in things that have to do with Jesus. And I thought, well, that's an interesting response. So on the one hand, I kind of get what he's saying. And then I thought, on the other hand, man, didn't Jesus heal all kinds of diseases? I mean, that's kind of one of his big things. I think that donation fell squarely into the love your neighbor category, this healing ministry in the way of Jesus. And I'd make the argument that it really follows in his healing ministry. It sure seemed to me like that was a great way to show your love for neighbor. Now, you know, in the first century, the blind, the crippled, the lame, those groups of people, they were at the margins. They were the edges of society, the untouchables, the unclean, according to the religious leaders. But Jesus said, they're in. They are welcome. Not only that, everyone is welcome. You are all welcome. You are wanted. You don't have to clean up your act to come to the table. You are welcome to come as you are, and God will deal with transforming us through the Holy Spirit at the table. You know, we celebrate this every time we have Holy Communion. The table is open to everyone. All are welcome. All are wanted. Holy Communion is God's table. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not Legacy's. Come and experience the Holy Spirit's transforming power at the table. You don't need to clean up first. Just come and eat. Everyone is welcome. But at the moment Jesus tells this story, only the poor, the blind, the crippled, the lame are the ones who seem interested, they seem engaged, are clued in to what he's doing. As we seek to rebuild community around the table, there's a very practical piece of advice for us. Don't just invite people that we know intimately and deeply already. Reach out beyond ourselves to people that we don't know, we've never met before, people that might be in our categories of outsiders or untouchables or the unworthy. And how can we continue to make Legacy a place where all are welcome to ask questions and to follow Jesus with every fiber of their being? That's radical hospitality at its finest. Making room for everyone to explore whether or not Jesus is worth patterning and surrendering our whole lives to. That creates a table that builds community Jesus desires. You know, on the second level, this story is told in the book of Luke. This is the biography that Luke writes about Jesus. And Luke writes from the Gentile, the non-Jewish perspective. Everyone who's not a Jew, they are Gentiles. The Jews were waiting and waiting and waiting for the kingdom of God. And when it finally arrived, they were busy doing other things. When Luke was writing, there were many Jews who chose to become Christians. They didn't miss out on what God was doing. But the majority of the nation, both in Palestine and what we call present-day Israel, and in scattered Jewish communities around the world, they didn't get it. God's messengers had gone out into the world and got all kinds of people to join, people from backgrounds very different from Jews culturally, socially, ethnically, and ethically. Everyone is invited to come into the kingdom of God, to eat at the table, to see the goodness of Jesus. Now, the challenge of this story for us is to be a microcosm, a small bit, a tiny part of the kingdom. Gatherings where all are welcome. People from all backgrounds can eat together around one table as equals made in the image of God, seeking to follow Jesus in all that we do. So we ask ourselves questions like, is worship accessible to all? Or do we use language that only insiders, Christians can understand? Do kids and students have access to their ministries? Are adults or groups accessible to everyone so all have access? What barriers might we need to remove so that everyone, absolutely everyone, is welcome to explore and follow Jesus? Christmas is coming, and with it, our annual half a Christmas Eve offering. Yes, even in a tight financial year for us as a church, we're not going to give up our outward focus that is central to who we are, combating homelessness in our region so that it is a one-time and rare occurrence for people. It is helping folks have the very basics, necessities of life so they can simply live. We're supposed to make sure that anyone on the outside are welcome and invited, and we make sure they have the resources to live. You know, the final level of this story, it takes us right back to the advice where Jesus gets underneath the skin of the host throwing the party. This is what he said starting in verse 12. Jesus turns to the host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they'll invite you back and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Jesus invited those party guests that day and everyone throughout the ages to his movement, his Jesus Kingdom movement. If you want to be included, you can be included. Everybody is included. Even the folks you might consider less than, like those in the first century, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Because friends, in God's sight, no one is less than. Every single human being is made in the very image of God who created the universe. For us today, rebuilding community around the table, the challenge is this. We need to extend hospitality and receive hospitality from all, because everyone, absolutely everyone, is welcome at God's table. So what does it mean to celebrate God's kingdom so that those who feel like they're at the bottom of the pile, at the end of the line, would find it to be good news? You know, we ourselves might have found ourselves dragged from the country highways to our surprise to God's party, and we said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. That might be our story, and that is amazing. We found our way to the party where everyone is invited. But interestingly, in Jesus' movement, party guests are supposed to become party hosts. We are party hosts to help find those who aren't yet connected to Jesus' kingdom movement. You know, it can happen in our life and our discipleship groups here. If the Spirit is stirring on your heart to get connected, you want to learn more about a topic with groups of other people, to dig in with a group of folks, tell us on your Connect card, and we'll get you plugged in. We'll get you plugged in with a group to explore the topic stirring on your heart. Because all of us at one time were party guests, and now we're supposed to be party hosts, making room, making hospitable spaces for people to come and follow Jesus. You know, in our part of the world, we so often turn down dinner invitations because we don't want to impose upon people. We don't want to put people out. But by doing so, we don't let them serve out of the gifts God gave them, their callings to host, to create beautiful spaces where people can build relationships, community, and connection. So when people extend hospitality to you, say yes. Say yes with all the appropriate, you know, boundaries and scheduling and priorities. We go with that. We know those things. But say yes when people extend hospitality to you. We need to extend hospitality and receive hospitality from all, because everyone, absolutely everyone, is welcome at God's table. So this is the challenge today. Twice a month, extend hospitality or receive hospitality from people not in your family. So not your people. Make connections with new people. That's how we rebuild community, build new relationships. It's the way we can understand each other across divisions, sometimes deep divisions. Our convictions might not change, but at least, man, at least we've got an understanding of how other people think. Around the table, we build and reclaim community because we can do that there. Around the table, ask anything. Around the table, listen well. Around the table, freely disagree. Around the table, love regardless. We need to, and we can do more around the table than just eat. You know, a few weeks ago, I officiated the funeral for Randy Reimer. He was a member here at Legacy, and he was 68 years old. His daughter, Jennifer, gave a beautiful eulogy. In it, she noted that her and her father could not have been more different in their political beliefs. They were opposite sides of the spectrum. I bet they had some exciting and intense holiday debates. So one day, when Jennifer shared her desire to run for office, now a different political party than her father would have preferred, Randy didn't get upset, he didn't get angry, he didn't exile her from the family. He listened well to his daughter. So as Jennifer was pondering what to do, Randy picked up a book featuring North Dakota's top elected female politicians entitled Important Voices. He sent the book to his daughter with essentially these words inscribed in the front page: "Go for it if you want it." Jennifer said, "For him, our political differences were not important. I was important to him, and so were my dreams." A family connected around the table over decades, connected through love regardless of any difference. That can be the power of community built around the table, just a little bit each and every day. That applies to our families under one roof, or our families, our people spread out across homes under multiple roofs. In Jesus' kingdom movement, friends, everyone is welcome. So let us go and do likewise, twice a month, finding a way to extend or to receive hospitality to build relationships from people we wouldn't normally connect with. That is the way of Jesus. Let's pray together. Jesus, we confess it is a challenge to reach out beyond ourselves. It's uncomfortable. We know we're going to say the wrong things. We know we mess up in relationships with others. But you've designed us to be connected to each other and to you. So help us to be bold to make new relationships, new connections with new people, to reach out to folks of vastly different backgrounds than we are, so we can see the vast diversity and beauty of your kingdom. Help us to do all we can to be a people of radical hospitality in all things. It is in our resurrected Savior's name that we pray together. Amen.